Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Come on, son.
Grab the yams on the track.
Come on, son. Come on, son. Come on, son.
Hey, y'all, this is your boy, Ed Lovett. I'm back again with another episode of the podcast. Cool, it's the podcast. Let me start this podcast off by saying we getting ready to get into a very interesting subject. And I have, I believe y'all might know these ladies from when we were talking about dating in the millennial. I got Wifey Baby back with me, recording artist. How you doing, Wifey Baby?
Hello.
I have a mogul boss woman, okay? Angel Ray is in the building with me. What's up, Ange?
What up, though?
Okay, and I got a brand new addition. Well, I'm pretty sure Sheikah going to jump in here and say something, but I got one of my homegirls in here right now who was a part of what we were talking about and has moved on to do great things with her life as far as being in the realm of education. And she goes by the name of L.A. L.A., what's happening, darling? How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, good. So today, ladies, I want to talk about one of the most, I would like to say it's important to a certain degree because here in Atlanta, Georgia, where we broadcast from, it goes on day in and day out. And it's changed from being what I remember growing up as a gentleman's club to just a place to go hang out and party, and it is the art, I like to call it the art of entertaining, stripping. That's what it's called. I understand it because I'm a grown-ass man. I understand it is just entertainment, but a lot of people don't. And all of you were involved in it, or maybe some of you are still involved in it, but at one point or another in your life, you were all involved with it. Tell me, why does a woman get involved in that? Tell me why. Who wants to start? L.A.
I'll start.
Tell me why.
Okay, so
she gonna change up. God damn! Wait a minute. She got back in the room. Okay, the showstopper is here.
What the mother?
Now we're ready to start.
Yes.
Hold on a minute. Can we get that?
Did we get it?
I just had a football game.
Girl.
Lord have mercy, Jesus and Mary and Joseph. All right, now let's get back to my question, L.A.
Hold on, I'm still looking.
L.A. Tell me why a woman gets involved in that.
I can't speak for other women, but I can speak for myself. I actually was into acting, and before that I was a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that I could not make my auditions as a teacher, so I ended up finishing my year out, and then I worked in a restaurant. Once I worked in a restaurant, some things happened, and one day I just couldn't make it to work, so they fired me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay. So I got fired and I worked a few other places and I had some friends in high places and they invited me to a location in the Bronx.
Okay.
And so I get there and I walk in. Do I need to say names?
If you choose to, that's up to you. We keep it 100% on
you. Okay, so I walked. They said, listen, when you get up there, just say you were Puff's party.
Okay.
So I get there and I walk in and I see Puff, I see Slam, and I'm like, wait a minute, what these bitches doing?
Mm-hmm.
And they were beautiful. They looked like me. They looked like Wifey. They looked like Angel. And I was like, wow, they're making a bunch of money. I could do this. I'm not shy. So that was a Thursday in April. I was there that Friday.
Oh, wow. It was that quick?
That quick. I was there that Friday. I needed to make money. I got fired.
Okay.
So I said, I could do this. I'm an entertainer. I'm not shy. So I ended up working, and my first night, I ended up making about $400.
Wow.
I thought I was doing something at that time.
Uh-huh.
But that's how it started. And then from there, that's a whole nother story.
Wifey Baby.
Yes.
How did you end up getting involved in it?
Actually, I was living in Riverdale at the time, and it was a girl. She was my neighbor.
And I always liked to dance and stuff like that. And she was like, well, maybe you should go and try to dance at the Flame. And I thought about it for a while. I was like, I don't know. Until just one day I just winged it and went. I don't know. I didn't really have a reason to do it.
Uh-huh.
I think it was just something I wanted to try just because the money.
Okay.
Just from like hearing her tell stories and things like that and stuff. So I just went and tried it.
Okay.
And I liked it.
Angel Ray?
Oh, gosh. I think we tapped on this a little bit last week.
Okay. Well, let's tap it again.
So I started actually when I was in Michigan. And my friend and I, well, actually it was my best friend. She was like, hey, you know, I went to this club. The bitch went without me, first of all.
Oh, okay.
We were supposed to go together. She just snuck off and went. She was like, hey, you know, we was talking about this for weeks. I went ahead and went to the little amateur contest or whatever. So it was this white club. We had no idea what the hell we was doing. And the prize was $100. But when you making $8-$9 an hour, that extra $100 come in handy.
Okay.
So she had already gone down and had done the amateur contest. And then I went down and I did it and I won $100 and we was like, oh my God, this is amazing, right? Mm-hmm. So, not until I moved to Atlanta did I really know what, you know, real money was. But that little extra $100, $150 plus, you know, the little tips that people would give you while you were on stage,
right,
helped out a whole lot. So that's how I got into it. I started at, you know, just a little white club with an amateur contest. And that's just how it started because I was working at a car dealership.
Okay.
And, you know, both of us had very young kids at the time. Mm-hmm. And we was like, man, we just need some extra money. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. Let's go do this. And I'm telling you, back in the day, $100 would go a very long way.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Like, for one night, you figure I was making $400 a week.
Right. And you made $100 of that $400
on that first night. So
cash,
like,
not even taxable money.
I'm like, I'm popping right now.
Right.
Let me go back.
And how did things change for you once you moved to Atlanta?
So once I moved to Atlanta, oh my gosh, it changed a whole lot because it was just different down here. You know what I'm saying? It was a lot of Black successful men here getting to the money. Mm-hmm. You hear me? I'm talking about everybody from dope dealers to doctors to just regular businessmen. Everybody had money in the late 99-ish 2000 era. Mm-hmm. You know, it was not a shortage of money at all. Like, everybody had it, like from the ball players to you know, to the regular guy on the street.
Right.
And it was just...
That was really a time when Atlanta really started booming.
Oh, it was. That's when Michael Vick was here.
Right.
That's when, you know, just... I don't know. It was just
was those,
crazy.
Was that before or after the BMF days?
I mean, that was before. When BMF came, that was a whole nother era.
Okay.
And if I had to choose between which two eras, because BMF came like around 04, 05-ish, and Meech had always been around. I used to see him in the club before he got really, really big.
Mm-hmm.
And
Black Mafia family, ladies and gentlemen,
yes,
BMF.
And he used to be in the corner, and he used to just spend, you know, a little $400 or $500, you know, nothing too crazy. He had, I can't remember if it was a long, like, braided ponytail or it was like some braids.
Straight to the back braids?
Yes. And, you know, it was just so crazy because when I first started dancing here in Atlanta, guys would just used to be like, go dance for that mirror over there. They didn't even, yes. Guys back in the days, they didn't want you to
mirror
touch
dances.
Them.
Yes.
They were so G. They didn't really, it was really about the art back then.
Right.
And it wasn't about the sex. It wasn't about, you know, they weren't really pressed about that because they had money and that would come. You
right.
know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, it was just a whole different ball game. And I think
absolutely, because I was running around down here with Pac back in 94, 95.
Oh.
Running
right.
straight through Magic City. We got thrown out of Magic City one night. But that's another story I'll tell y'all. We was wilding, though, but they chucked our asses right. I mean, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air thrown out, too. Like, when you know how high the steps is in Magic City?
Yeah. Yeah.
We ain't touched them steps. I hit the bottom motherfucking steps. All right? We got our asses tossed out of Magic City one night. Drunk as a motherfucker. But you're right. In those days, it was about the entertainment. Like, we went in there for the entertainment. There was a champagne room, actually.
There was.
There was a champagne
right
room.
Right when you walked in.
That's
to the right.
There was a champagne room, and you yes. go in the champagne room and chill, bring a bunch of dancers in there, tip very well,
yep.
have some conversation, and it was about the entertainment part
yep.
of it. It wasn't about trying to take somebody home. It wasn't. It was about, yo, this is the place to be. This is the place to be seen, and it's beautiful women all around. I'm talking about the 90s. When you went to Magic City, it wasn't nobody ugly in Magic City.
Nobody.
Nobody.
And that's in any club that you went to.
Yes,
that was
in Atlanta.
Any club that
there
you
was
went to
no,
in Atlanta.
No ugly women in the fucking
and
strip club at
bodies.
All. Yes.
All
in all different
bodies,
shades.
In all different shades.
You
like,
did
seriously.
Light skin, dark skin, real dark skin, brown skin,
all
Indian
blue.
Skin, long
all
hair, short hair.
Yes.
I feel like now when I go out, this is one of the reasons why I don't frequent the strip
all
clubs
blue.
As much as I used to. And a lot of people thought, damn, Ed, you moving to Atlanta from New York, you're going to be in a strip club every night. I hardly go to strip club because now I feel like they all got uniforms.
They do. Yeah.
I feel like there's a stripper uniform nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fake
same.
Ass, fake tits, and tattoos all over the place. So what
yep.
differentiates you
from
the other
shit.
Girl that's right there? Like, it used to be when, and we could talk about body enhancement in a little while, mm-hmm. but it used to be, you know, a woman did some body enhancement to herself or had plastic surgery or something to herself. They stood out. But when everybody mm-hmm. started doing it, you don't stand
you don't
out
stand
no
out
more.
Anymore.
So now
yep.
the woman that works out real hard and got a nice body, that's the one I want to throw my money to because she don't look like the rest of y'all. Y'all look
yep.
like the same
everybody
chick.
Everybody look the same. And it's so crazy. Like, I am so for plastic surgery all day long. If
right.
that's what makes you happy.
Absolutely.
But do what fits you and do what fits your body. You know what I'm saying?
Don't
say,
have a big stupid
yeah,
ass
go have a
and
big
olive oil
ass
legs.
And, yeah,
right?
that,
get
have,
your leg work
or
done.
Or
shorty.
Have, still,
yes.
That does not look right.
Yeah,
or
it looks
have
great.
Big crazy breasts and you fucking 5 feet tall. Like, think about your future because 21 ain't gonna last forever.
Sure don't. It's gonna
before
be some fat ass grandmothers
eyes,
running around.
You're gonna be in your 30s. And
your grandmother got a fat ass.
Like, seriously, I think that it's, you know, I don't have any, you know, get lipo done, get, you know, your eyes changed, get whatever
right.
it is that you feel that you, but do it for yourself. Don't do it because you're in competition with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Because your struggle, it may not be somebody else's struggle,
absolutely.
Body struggle. You know what I'm saying? You
right.
might just have to go to the gym.
But a lot of them are just doing it to get out that bag, though.
They no, that shit. They're lazy.
Yeah, they lazy. They are very
Sheikah,
lazy.
Sheikah, holla at them, Sheikah. You got to get right up on that
okay,
microphone.
I'm
sorry.
I had to go take a shower from a football game, and
okay.
now you can see that I am actually very sexy.
All right, but go ahead.
I don't have my makeup on.
Fellas,
yet.
I want to let y'all know this is very enjoyable for me. But let's move on.
No, but seriously, as a personal trainer and a dancer at night, I'm a businesswoman by day and I'm a dancer at night. And sometimes it's hard when you talk to somebody and you sound like you're too smart. You gotta dumb yourself down. It's like, I'm not knocking. If you want to get your butt done, you want to get your chest done, you want to be whatever you want to be. But guess what? Your heart still gonna be that overweight bitch that was eating fries and hot wings and shots of Patron.
And you're doing it in the club anyway.
And you're doing it in the club anyway. So, like, it's okay. Like, it's okay, but at the same time, don't get mad if you got to go back in 5 years because you wasted $10,000 for no reason.
So tell me, ladies, the good. Let's start with the good of dancing. What's the good?
The money.
The money.
What's the most
the
money?
The lifestyle.
Man,
tell me
moving.
The most money.
Walking.
Each one of y'all. Let's start with L.A., tell me the most money you ever made in one fucking night dancing. The most.
My God.
$8,000. Wifey baby, the most you ever made in one night dancing?
I'm going to say about $8,500. Birthday set, something like
Sheikah,
that.
Sheikah, the most you ever made took Keep home for yourself in one night dancing?
Out of 20 grand, I took home 17.
17.
Yes.
Angel Ray, how much the most you ever made in one night dancing?
Why are you looking at me?
Yeah,
well, we want to know.
Hello.
We're going to come for y'all.
We want to know.
If y'all ain't taking care of her, we're going to come for y'all. It better be 20
don't
grand or more.
Bye, bye.
I'm going to say the most that I probably counted by hand, it was probably like 15,000.
And we believe.
Good God Almighty!
Like, we believe.
God damn! For how many hours?
That. And that was. I mean, that was. But those are just like you. On, you know, you gonna make those split. That type of money. I feel like you know, on a birthday set or something like that. And that's money that I don't have to split with anybody else because that was my night.
Exactly. Tell me about this. Oh, that's your birthday night.
Yeah, it was my birthday.
Okay,
that's my night. I don't have to.
So the birthday is the shit. My birthday is everything, huh?
Yeah, the birthday. Back in the day, the birthday sets used to be everything. Like you would go all out, outfits, cakes. You know, you would call everybody like, "Hey, it's my birthday. What y'all gonna do?" You know what I'm saying? Whatever.
Woo, woo.
And that's how you know. Now it's a little bit differently. Man, you know, I feel, but you know, I stopped after. I think that after I made the 15,000 that one year, I never did big birthday parties anymore because you would be so disappointed because people would stop fucking showing up for your birthday.
Oh, after, wow.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you would call and be like, "Hey, it's my birthday. You coming out?" They'd be like, "Yeah, I'm coming." Man, would nobody show up sometimes? You know what I'm saying? But that don't mean that they wouldn't come back and bless you later on.
Right.
But, you know, guys start seeing birthday sets as like, "Look, I'm in here throughout the week taking care of you. I don't need to come in for your birthday." And
oh, you, gotta,
you get what I'm saying?
No,
like,
no. Hello. You gonna come to this birthday set?
No, nigga.
On the road.
Them niggas ain't just coming because she ain't fucking.
Right.
That's
let's keep it real.
Let's keep it real.
Let's keep it real. One thing about a man, he gonna break a check for your neck. You feel me? If you ain't gonna give him what he want. It's bitches out there right now. We done been through situations, me and wifey together, as her manager. We've been in situations where bitches was like, "Stop throwing money on them hoes. They not fucking." You see what I'm saying?
Oh,
so
wow.
if you not fucking or sucking, you ain't going to get it. And that's just what it is. But that's because they weak. They weak.
They walk up and be like,
"Wifey,
that
wifey little punk ass didn't even want me to let me know that."
Oh,
ass
I keep it one. You, absolutely.
Little sucker.
Let me tell you, he players, absolutely. He player club my ass.
Got your dick.
Like when Diamond seen her teacher and ran, that's what his ass is. Because I was not expecting that.
I said, but hold on 1 second. We got a question for Ed real quick.
Mm-hmm.
So Blue is here on live. Hi, Blue.
Blueberry. What up, Blue boy?
So Blue says, what's the most money that you've ever spent in a strip club?
Five stacks.
And who was she?
$5,000. It wasn't on one woman. That was
how many
it
girls?
Was on. It was on everybody in the motherfucker. The most.
She wasn't worth it.
The most. Now here's the funny thing. I spent it. It wasn't my money.
Oh, good job.
It was not. I'm gonna tell y'all who money it was. It was Meech's money.
Hey.
From BMF, Black Mafia family. Meech. So here's the story. We're in Sue's Rendezvous, in up in Westchester County in New York. We had an Atlanta versus New York dance contest.
Yes.
Meech and BMF brought all the women from Atlanta on a fucking customized bus.
Yes.
All right, the Sue's Rendezvous. I'm hosting, and first of all, they came in, and when they came in, I had my boys with me, and they were like, "Could you guys move over a little bit?" And they came in with, I don't know how many niggas they came in with. Then they got about $60,000 to $70,000 in singles.
Hello.
Okay. Then when the Atlanta girls jumped on stage, I'm on the stage where the girls dance. The New York girls went first. They was chilling. People was throwing money. You know, New York niggas is going to try to outdo Atlanta niggas. It's just the rivalry that's gonna happen. Mm-hmm. So New York niggas is doing their thing. When the Atlanta girls came out with all this Falcon shit on and A's all over the place, these niggas start. Now they didn't make it rain. It fucking hurricaned in that motherfucker. Then Meech jumps on stage next to me. I'm on the mic. Meech jumps on stage next to me and starts throwing $100 bills.
Yeah.
Hundreds. All right. Then he had him a stacks of $5,000. So $5,000 of it dropped down onto the floor out of his pocket. I jumped off the floor, picked it up. Now, here's my mindset. I jumped out on the floor. I picked up the $5,000, and I tapped him. And I go, "Meech, you dropped this." And I'm going to tell you why I gave it back to him. Because I'm like, the feds is watching this. All right? And if I act like I'm with this shit, when it goes down, I'm going down. So I wasn't going to get too involved in it. I was going to keep it cool. I said, "Yo, Meech, you dropped this." And he was like, "Yo, Ed, keep that. Give it to the girls. Do what you want to do with it." And it was one particular girl that had a birthday set there that night. And I gave her every single dollar of that money.
Good job.
Damn,
she got every hundred that was. I ain't take nothing out of it.
Good job.
I ain't slide
thank
nothing
you
in my pocket. And plus, I'm a man. I got my own money. I'm not gonna take no money from dude. We was cool like that, but you know he wasn't taking care of me.
Right.
I wasn't part of the. You know, when he bought me a couple of bottles of champagne, I readily and happily accepted that. But that was in Miami. That's a different story. Yeah, but that's the most money I ever spent out of my pocket. Because I come from an era where you was good if you spent a few hundred dollars.
Right.
Okay? That era you were talking about earlier, Angel Ray, and that BMF era changed forever the way dudes tip in the strip club.
Let me tell you something. He will forever go down. Let me tell you something. He didn't only change the Atlanta strip game. He changed the Atlanta laws. We used to be able to stay open till 4 o'clock. In the morning, in the city of Atlanta.
Yeah.
By the time they got finished with Atlanta, we could only stay open until 3. It was, you know, it was an excellent era, but it was also, you know, it was very kind of damaging to Atlanta a little bit with all the crime that was going on. But you know, it was excellent to live through at the time. You're not gonna ever go to, a dope boy's party where he got lions, tigers, and bears, and zebras,
and giraffes.
Let me tell you something.
Wow. Yes,
that night when that nigga had that party at the compound, people didn't give a shit about getting their cars towed. It was nowhere to park.
Wow.
Over by compound when he had that party. And people was double parking to get into this party. And they didn't give a damn. You know why? Because they knew that they would get that money back. Everybody got money. If you worked in the bathroom, you got money. If you was homeless outside, you got money. He was a real stand-up
man. Oh, yeah, absolutely. They don't make him like that.
And it wasn't him.
And shout out to J-Bo, too. They don't make him like that no more.
They don't make him like that.
Shout out to Blue Da Vinci. That's my man. They don't make niggas like that no more. Niggas is snitching on 2 years. Niggas is snitching on 2 years now. Niggas can't sit down for 2 years. These are dudes that knew what they was doing, knew that they was making money, knew that eventually they was going to jail for it, and kept their fucking mouth closed when they got popped. If you're going to get in the life, you know the consequences of the life. You know you're going to either probably get shot and killed, or you're going to jail for a long time. So you're supposed to stand up and take that shit as a man.
Exactly.
When you're looking at a 1-5 or 1-3 or 3-5 or whatever, you're not supposed to turn around and tell on niggas because you can't take 3 years.
Yep.
Like, yo, he changed the game for real. Now, he's the one that made the rappers go out now and start trying to throw that money.
Let me tell you something. If it wasn't for Meech, I don't feel like Jeezy would be where he is. Because let me tell you, anytime them niggas would come in a club.
Speak the truth, girl.
And TM 101. Let me tell you something about that album right there.
Wow. Tell them. Give them history. Right.
Let me tell you something. Back when they were promoting Blue Da Vinci and they was promoting Jeezy.
Absolutely.
And when they used to play Blue Da Vinci song, do y'all remember when they used to be like, here we go, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
That song was the shit, right? Because you knew when you heard either that or you heard that Shorty Red beat come in. Last time I checked, I was the man on these streets. They call me Residue Ali, blowing these beats. Got diarrhea flow, now I shit on niggas. Even when I'm constipated, I still shit on niggas. Let me tell you something. You heard that come on?
You knew.
Them niggas had 50 grand in hand and ones already. Easy, especially if they was at like Magic City or something like that. Girls used to, the money on stage used to be damn near up to your fucking knees.
And they tell you don't touch it.
And they tell you don't touch it. You can't touch it until they get ready to leave.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
You know what I'm saying? It was just a different kind. He was paying every fucking thing. Like, seriously. It was just, you know, something that you would never, if you never lived it, you could never imagine.
You can't even imagine.
You know what I'm saying?
I think God, I was a part of that too.
You know,
he wasn't there.
And
period.
That's the reason why a lot of people are still moving to Atlanta because they still feel like it's like that now. You know what I'm saying? And it's definitely
occasionally a rapper come through.
It ended when the indictments came out in like 07, 08. So the shit was over by. But he had an excellent run, and I'm talking about a man who would take 50 to 100 people on a trip out the country.
And bring all his cars, too.
And pay for everybody and bring everything in. You know, like, when he got, it's so funny, when he got locked up and he was on house arrest, it was so funny because we was getting fired from the club for bringing ones. We would get the ones from the club. We would pay to leave work. He'd be like, Meech having a party, because he could be out for a certain time to a certain time.
Right.
He'd be like, okay, get ones from the club. We're going to pick you. It'd be like 25 to 30 girls. He'd give us $1,000 up front. Up front.
That's 25 racks gone.
Just to make sure you're there.
He'd give us $1,000 up front. And then on top of that, when you get there, he would throw ones. And when they fired us, they were suspending us for like weeks for going to these parties, right? He was like, man, fuck them. That nigga was throwing like 20s, 10s, whatever he had. He was like, fuck them ones. We don't need them ones. We good. And when I tell you, it was no pressure to have no sex. It wasn't no pressure to do do drugs. Let me tell you something. We used to be in the fucking kitchen butt naked cooking breakfast, like just chilling. Everybody be here, there, all over. If you wanted to have sex, that was an option.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But they got so much fucking pussy, like at the end of the day, they was like, they was tired of that shit because they could pick and choose who the hell they wanted to.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They never had to pressure anybody to have sex with them. So, you know, it's just a different era, a different... you know, just a different kind of swag, you know, like I stated before, you know, it was, guys didn't even like for you to dance on them back in the day.
Right.
They'd be like,
so y'all told
dance.
Me about the good.
The good is
that tax-free money and a lot of it. Tell me about the bad.
Well, I pay my taxes. Hold on. I pay my taxes. Get that on camera.
Pay our taxes.
Wifey,
honey.
Baby, tell me about the bad. Tell me about the bad part of it.
The bad that comes with it.
You
is
see
like...
men at their lowest common denominator. Tell me the bad.
The bad is the haters.
Meaning? Please elaborate.
The hating ass bitches that come behind you and try to backdoor you by who you dealing with, who you getting money from, and they come with the stories and stuff like that. That's the bad.
So there's a lot of hatred from women
towards
other women.
Cattiness, all of that.
Uh-huh.
They want to backdoor you. They want their money. They don't care.
Okay.
So if they got to talk about you or make up lies on you, that's what they'll do. So you constantly defending yourself because of who you're dealing with. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, in the establishment. But that's just what
a lot of emotions, a lot of egos. L.A.,
yes.
L.A., tell me about the bad, sweetheart. Tell me about the
tell
bad.
Them. See, it's a different story. Like, when I worked.
Get in that microphone,
get
please.
Get in that, girl. Get in that.
I was in New York at the time. So my story compared to Atlanta is totally different. Niggas wasn't doing it that crazy in New York like that. When they came to Atlanta, that's when they were like, oh, we got to spend this money. But in New York, it was a dollar here, it was smacking ass. I'm not playing that shit.
Right.
I'm going to punch you in the chest.
In the chest.
I've done that before. Trust me.
As you should.
I've done that before.
Tell me about the bad of the dance life.
The bad of the dance life. Okay. So we're going to talk about how when you're in that life and we got the scavengers.
What do you consider scavengers?
We got the scavengers. We got the outside girls who, when you come to party,
Eager beavers.
Okay.
She needs to trademark that.
Okay, so you come in the club and you want to hang out. Okay, it's cool to hang out. But when the money is throwing, when it's going on crazy, don't touch it.
Because it's not for you.
It's not for you.
Is this other dancers or just women that's
customers.
Out?
Customers.
It's customers.
Yes. Security guards.
Security.
Sweepers. See, when I came to Atlanta.
Right, and a lot of people listening to this might not know what a sweeper is.
Okay, so the difference is when I came to Atlanta, okay, when you're dancing, let's just say there's four of us. We dancing for one particular nigga.
Right.
And he's throwing his money. We already got the eye. That's us. We already know we in the bag.
Right.
Don't touch the shit.
It's like army.
It's, yeah.
All right, she can explain this to me, please, darling.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. So, like, me and wifey went to South Carolina for the CIAA. Whatever.
Ooh, that liquor's loaded tonight.
Right, the liquor. Right. We in Atlanta at the CIAA. We both, you know, I was working at Onyx. She was working at Pinups. I said, look, check this out. The nigga in front of me, he got the check, and he liked what he looking at. The guy in front of me, he got the check. He like, we're looking at. So I got the complexion for the connection.
Right.
So let me go ahead and work him. I need you to be on my right. It's like playing in a Super Bowl. You got to be offensively. You feel me?
Right.
So I told wifey, you on my right. I told a girl named Classic, you on my left. I told another girl, she was going to be called? The safety? Strong
right.
safety. So if any dollars go behind me, bitch, you better catch it.
Oh, wow.
You feel me? So you got to play this shit like a football game. Right. So he's sitting there talking about, yeah, I'm going to fuck the shit out of you. I'm like, yeah, daddy, you going to fuck the shit out of me. A girl walked up and said, she ain't fucking I am. I said, daddy, I'm going to suck your dick like a golf ball through a garden hose.
Lord have mercy, you better fuck with me. Wallet.
And I'm going to keep it way real. After we got our whole check, we went home and was blessed.
Lord,
it's about mind game. Fuck these niggas' mind, make their ears come. Lady, they in here to fuck with us. We ain't in here to fuck with them. When they come into a strip club, they
y'all
come in here
some
for
lessons
us.
In here. My producers are getting
they
lessons.
They come in here for us. You feel me?
Yeah, y'all some lessons. Like, I think a couple of them think about
even,
stripping now.
Even
fuck
to
Ed
my,
Lover
even,
show.
Even,
the 15 racks in the night, I'm going to get naked.
Man, even to my wives that's at home with your man, the only reason why he come into a strip club is because you not giving him no Ed Love.
Baby.
You feel me?
Now I'm coming in because you're getting me riled up. I'm going home and tear somebody's ass.
Straight up.
My homeboy Bubba said the game is to be sold.
Not to be told. And guess what? I done made so much money off of it. I could give a little bit of it.
Well, tell Bubba. Tell Bubba.
I done made so much money off of it. I could give a little bit of it.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question now, Angel Ray. Tell me the bad. Tell me from your perspective what the bad is. 100% real.
So, well, for me, I have a heart. I feel like, you know, I have a connection with, you know, that's deeper than just the club with a lot of the girls. Because a lot of times when you work in 5 or 6 days out the week, those women become your sisters. They become absolutely your family.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a lot deeper than that. You spend a lot more time with your fellow entertainers than you do with your own family sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And the bad for me, I guess, is seeing the girls that are not strong enough to survive in the game because they get sucked up in the drugs and the alcohol and the sex and all of that type stuff. That's the saddening part for me because, you know, you see a lot of girls die from drugs.
Mm.
You see a lot of girls do a lot of things that they wouldn't normally do, you know, if they had not come into the club. And I'm telling you, you have to have a very strong mind to be in to be a dancer. You know?
Right.
It's a lot of guys.
I always say y'all see the lowest common denominator of men. And I'll say that again. Like a lot of guys, they don't understand, you know. And even me as an adolescent, it took me, you know, a while. But I was like, oh, God, I got to fuck her tonight. You know what I mean? And you playing yourself. You're walking around. You're trying to holler. Mm-hmm. You understand, they've been on their feet for like 8-9 hours sometimes.
Yeah.
Them motherfucking bunions is hurting
that,
them plastic,
then you gotta deal
clear
with
plastic
a guy,
shoes.
Then you got to deal with a guy that, you know, that you might be dancing for and you might be giving him a lap dance and this guy just came on the back of your leg.
Oh,
like,
Lord.
You know, it's a lot of stuff behind the scenes that you do not see. It's a lot of things that these girls go through. You know, you never know what a woman has to go through to make money in the club. Yeah. Everybody make their money differently. You know what I'm saying? And that's why I never knock or talk about the next person because you don't know what that girl's been. I know some girls that are in the club that have been raped by their own fathers and have kids by them.
Oh, wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's a lot of, you know, and then to come into an invite, it's the devil's house. You know what I'm saying? You got all of the things that you could even just imagine in a strip club, and it's the devil's house. You know what I'm saying? And it really is, you know, a double-edged sword because you guys don't get to see that part. You don't get to see the
cattiness and the fights in the locker room.
You don't get to see the girl who had to raise herself, so she don't really totally know about hygiene. And it's 20 other girls behind the scene laughing at her, saying, she stinks. She this, she that. But she don't know.
Right.
It's a lot of these girls that jump into this stripping game, and they don't understand what's what because they don't know. They just, it's a lot of this has to do with home upbringing. It has to do with what you've learned as you've grown up. And a lot of these girls just jump headfirst into this just because, you know, they just, it's heartbreaking, you know, a lot of times, because it's all for money. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of these girls get in here and they do any and everything for money when they don't realize that they are the prize at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
Your pussy is the prize. I don't give a fuck what kind of upbringing that you've ever had. You are the prize at the end of the day. You control that man. But if you're not headstrong enough to know that, then she just falls into the bunch of, she gets swallowed up.
What would you guys say is the percentage of women that are actually dancing in the strip clubs that are actually really prostitutes?
Oh, it's a lot more now.
It's a lot more now
than it was back in the day, because the money is more scarce now.
Okay.
A lot of, a lot of times the drug money is dried up until the election is over,
Right.
What I'm saying? Not a lot of, you figure if the Macy's and the JCPenney's and these big corporations are going out of business, the regular Joe Schmo don't have, they just spending they whatever they got.
Yeah, they
got to
keep their lights on and their bills paid. The entertainment, when jobs dry up, the extra money that they had to spend on entertainment
is
no longer there.
Definitely.
Oh my God. I know we got to go, but can I do a part two to this?
Please.
we do a part two to the strip game? Because I want to invite you all back and we'll do a part two to this podcast on the strip game. And we didn't get to the ugly, and I didn't get to ask y'all, we didn't get to enhancements, we didn't talk enough about that, and I really didn't get an opportunity to ask y'all about when is it time to hang it up.
Right.
Because I know a lot of y'all see such and such a that said that she retired and she's like 47 and she's still, or some 50-year-olds are still in there dancing, and it's hurtful and embarrassment. So can we do a part two to this?
We gotta do a part two.
Can we do two?
We have to.
So Sheikah, Super Management Showstopper, tell everybody how they can get at you on social media.
Man, when y'all want to check me out, just look at the Showstopper, THESHOSTOPPER, the Showstopper. You can find me. Google it, you'll find me. Trust
me. Pages.
Okay, Loving Angel Ray on all social media.
Yes, Loving Angel Ray.
R-A-E.
R-A-E, not R-A-Y. Y'all stop spelling my name like the damn boy name. My name is R-A-E.
Motherfuckers can't spell. All right. And of course, Wifey Baby.
Wifey Baby. WIFEYBABY _. And my SoundCloud is also # Wifey Baby.
There you go. How you're doing. And L.A.,
yep,
I know.
And YouTube.
L.A., we know you want to stay a little bit incognito.
L.A. is a red ball,
And we appreciate that, because she's an educator.
Guess what? Because all strippers were not just bitches that had no brain. We got educators, lawyers, doctors. Business owners and all that. Strippers are not just bitches that don't know no better about themselves. So when you come back next week, you understand.
All right,
why.
We'll do a part two to this, man. This has been Come On, Son, the podcast. My name is Ed Lover. As always, keep God first. Everything else will fall into place. I'll talk at you, with you, to you, and definitely about you next time, man.
Son.
Be good if you can't be good. Be careful if you can't be careful. And shit, name your baby after me, all right? I'm up out of here, man. This has been Come On, Son, the podcast.
Come on, son.
Fuck out of here with that bullshit. I'm gone, y'all. Peace.
Bye, y'all.
This episode of Come On, Son, the podcast is produced and engineered by co-executive producers Kimana Paulus and Krista Hayes. Recorded at Mean Street Studios in downtown Atlanta, Georgia, this is an official Loudspeakers Network podcast.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.